Okay, hello and welcome to Nothing But Space, a weekly podcast where we talk about everything related to our universe, including the Milky Way, black holes, and other observable and non-observable phenomena. I'm your host, Francesca Fernandez, and I will be taking you through what I hope to be a transformative journey. So if you'll remember from last episode where we talked about, you know, is the universe finite or infinite? What shape is it? What geometry does it have? I said I would be talking about Interstellar this episode and like the complex science behind all these different ideas that Christopher Nolan explores in Interstellar. But as I was diving deeper into the topic and as I was reading and rereading The Science of Interstellar, which is a book written by the physicist Kip Thorne, who advised Interstellar, I kind of realized that what I think is the coolest part of Interstellar, and this is just my opinion, is honestly the exploration of multiple dimensions beyond just those we are familiar with. So, of course, we all know the three spatial dimensions, right? You have up, down, north, south, east, west, and we have the fourth dimension of time. But actually, according to a theory known as superstring theory and string theory, our universe exists within 10 dimensions. Okay, and I know it sounds like I'm mind fucking with you, like, yeah, we have four dimensions, now I'm just gonna drop a bomb on you and tell you we have 10, but I promise I'm 100% real, okay, and I don't want to go on another one of my this is why I love physics rants, but it makes everything seem like, everything seems like sci-fi, but it's real, and that is just so cool. So instead of making an episode where we were, you know, exploring all of the various scientific topics explored in Interstellar, and I would only be devoting like a small amount of time to each topic because there's so many, I thought I would just make a few episodes with topics related to those in Interstellar, and in each episode we are really gonna dive deep into every topic, okay? It's gonna be a good time, it's gonna be a fun time, I'm excited, I hope you can tell, so let's get into it. So in talking about the fact that our universe has 10 dimensions, I first have to address what we call the brain and bulk, okay? And this is gonna give us some context on exactly how our universe is situated in, whatever it is situated in, okay? And I'm just gonna give you like my little trigger warning, not to scare you away. This episode, we are gonna talk about some weird stuff, okay? I'm telling you right now, sci-fi stuff. Could it mess with your head? Yes. Could it mind fuck with you? Yes, but I want you right now, take a deep breath, get ready, we're gonna talk about some cool physics, okay? So just take a breath, visualize everything, you're gonna be fine. So let's get started with the science. The first thing I want to say is that this four-dimensional universe that we know of, you know, with the three spatial dimensions and our fourth dimension of time, it's situated in what physicists call the hyperspace, okay? And that is like a big fancy term. So we're not going to use that. We call it the bulk, okay? Spelled B-U-L-K. And this bulk that our universe is situated in, that contains the six other dimensions that superstring theory is positing, right? Because I told you, our universe has 10 dimensions, okay? Four of them are contained within our brain, which I'll explain what that is in a second. And the other six are contained in this quote-unquote bulk, okay? And so the other term we're going to need to know is called the membrane, and the abbreviation for that is, you guessed it, the brain, okay? Spelled B-R-A-N-E, okay? And this is how we describe our four-dimensional universe. So just kind of to summarize that up, because you're going to need to know these terms, our four-dimensional universe with the three spatial dimensions and the fourth dimension of time is known as the brain, and then it's situated in these larger six dimensions that we call the bulk, okay? And that gives us a total of 10 dimensions, right? Super cool stuff. Now, we're going to have to imagine the bulk in the brain, and I want to give you like a visual picture of all the stuff, so that way you can really like take it in and, you know, understand exactly the context that we're talking about here for where our universe is situated. So I'm gonna drop another bomb on you. I've been doing it a lot this episode. The brain is warped, okay? And what that means is our universe is warped according to Einstein's theory of general relativity. So I just dropped a lot of big terms on you. Let me explain some of them. The first one, Einstein's theory of general relativity. So just to kind of like sum it up, it's a lot more complex than this, but I will just give you like the big idea. Imagine you have a trampoline, okay? And on that trampoline, you place a really, really heavy rock, okay? If you place that rock there, the fabric of the trampoline is going to be you know, kind of like thrust downwards. And so it'll be shaped a little bit like a U, right? Because you have this really heavy rock that's dragging the fabric, like the stretchy fabric of the trampoline downwards. And that's kind of how Einstein visualized large bodies of mass kind of manipulating the fabric of space-time. So for example, if we have like a planet, a star, or a black hole, these all warp the fabric of space-time in the same manner that a heavy rock will warp the fabric of a trampoline. And that is how the fabric of space-time in our universe is warped, okay? So this is kind of what accounts for like how light is bent around large masses, it accounts for gravitational lensing, etc., etc. A lot of the phenomena in our universe. All right, so now that I've told you the brain is warped, well, if we reduce the brain to two dimensions in a three-dimensional bulk, and the reason I'm saying this is just to give you a picture of kind of how we visualize it. So if we say that the brain is two dimensions instead of four, and the bulk is only three dimensions, then I want you to picture our brain in the bulk like a whirlpool in a box, okay? And the whirlpool is representing our brain and how it's warped, and the box is representing the bulk. And this is only if we simplify and reduce the brain to two dimensions, and we put the bulk as three dimensions, okay? Okay. So now I'm gonna make things a little more complex. I told you the brain was warped. The bulk is also warped. So that's kind of like another little mind fucker, but it should kind of make sense. And the reason that is because unlike all other particles, forces, and fields, gravity, and therefore the warping of space-time related to gravity, they are not confined just to the brain. So gravity and gravitons, which are the fundamental particles that physicists theorize are making up gravity, these particles are able to kind of like move between dimensions. They're not just confined to our four-dimensional brain. And I will explain why that is later, so for now, just accept it, okay? All particles, such like all atoms, electromagnetic force, the weak nuclear force, the strong nuclear force, these are all confined to our four-dimensional brain. But gravity is not, okay? And that should make sense because the way we theorize and picture it, an atom is only existing in three spatial dimensions, not four. Okay, so now that I've said that, imagining the bulk being warped should make sense, because if the warping of space-time fabric is kind of like interrelated with gravity, then the warping of the bulk therefore should also be interrelated with gravity, since gravity and its warping effects are also existing in the bulk, and that's because as a force, gravity, you know, extends much farther than just our brain, and it is able to affect these other six dimensions. So in conclusion, both the brain, or our four-dimensional universe, and the bulk, these other six dimensions, both of them are warped. And that's like a big, like, what? It's so hard to picture it. So now we're going to talk a little bit about string theory, or the alternate title for this section is, why do we have these other dimensions? Well, it's because of string theory. And string theory posits that instead of elementary particles, so instead of protons, electrons, neutrinos, instead of these particles, we have little loops of vibrating strings or tubes of energy. And based on how these strings vibrate, they manifest themselves into these elementary particles. So based on how the strings are vibrating, you have particles such as protons, electrons, neutrinos, quarks, etc. Now, the analogy I want to give you for this is kind of like a piano versus a guitar, okay? So envisioning just elementary particles, so if they don't come from vibrating strings, but like they just exist, just elementary particles, it's kind of like the different keys on a piano, right? If you press the note G versus the note A, you're going to get two different notes or two different particles. Whereas with a guitar, you have these different strings on the guitar, right? In essence, my analogy is that if you press down on, say, the first fret versus the second fret of the guitar, you're going to get a totally different note or a totally different elementary particle because the strings, the way they're vibrating, are different. But all the strings on the guitar, if you don't press down on them at all, they're still the same strings, and all of these same strings are able to produce totally different notes or totally different elementary particles. So that's the idea I'm kind of going for here. All right. I hope that makes sense. Some other important factors about string theory. One, the strings are so small that they appear like point-like particles, which is why they could also manifest themselves into these small elementary particles. The other thing we see is that when you have particle collisions, so if two particles are colliding, in string theory, that's as if the strings are merging together and then splitting apart. Now, in string theory, we have two types of strings, open and closed strings. And it's kind of funny because open strings are the ones that are bound to brains, which means they cannot travel between brains because they're bound to them. It's kind of like having a partner. They're already bound to someone. You can't cheat on them, or with open strings, you can't traverse between different brains because the open strings are already bound to two brains. And the way we picture open strings is like they're shaped like a loose piece of rope or a piece of loose rope, okay? Just like a floating piece of string. The other type of string we have is a closed string. And this string is one that is not bound to brains. So they're shaped like a bracelet. And in this dating scenario that I gave you, I would envision a closed string like someone who is single, okay? Because they aren't bound to anyone or they're not bound to any brain, they are free to travel between brains. So remember earlier I said, okay, gravity can extend past our brain. Why is that? That's because, as I said, gravity is mediated by a fundamental particle known as the graviton. And this graviton is massless, chargeless, and it travels at the speed of light. The graviton is also equivalent to a closed string. And as I said, a closed string is free to travel between all these different brains. So, because it's a closed string, the graviton, therefore, can travel between all these different brains. And something that this has helped physicists with is we've realized that because gravity can extend past our brain, it could account for the existence of dark matter. And physicists see this as like, okay, dark matter could also be gravitons that are leaking through from other dimensions and accounting for this extra matter. Now, the other reason we're saying that we need extra dimensions, because I gave you the string theory and I was like, oh, we have all of these strings and they vibrate. But why does that mean we have 10 dimensions? Why can't we just have strings vibrating in 4 dimensions? Well, we need them for the math to work, because if we don't have extra dimensions, our current 4 dimensions don't provide enough room for the strings to vibrate and to fully express themselves as different particles. Okay, so if we don't have these extra dimensions, the strings can't express themselves as different particles, and we would not have the elementary particles like protons, electrons, neutrinos, quarks that we do have. So because we have these particles, we know that there must be extra dimensions so the strings have room to physically vibrate across multiple, and by multiple I mean more than 4 dimensions. And just as a technicality, we technically have 5 string theories and they're all a little bit different. For example, some theories only allow vibrations to travel in one direction, and some theories are just combinations of other theories, so a lot of weird things. But we're not going to get into like the individualities of each string theory because that's pretty complex. And the string theories are known as type 1, type 2a, type 2b, SO32 heterotic, and EAE8 heterotic. Very weird, very fancy names, okay? Physics is cool like that. So I've told you like why we need these extra dimensions, you know, what string theory is, but why do we need string theory in general? Why at all do we have to posit this idea that we have vibrating strings that compose elementary particles and can manifest themselves into these particles? Like, who cares? Why do we need that? I mean, it sounds cool, but what does that add to our physics vocabulary? And that is because for decades, physics and physicists, they've been searching for what we call the theory of everything. And this is a theory that would unify everything in our universe, because right now, theories of quantum physics and quantum gravity do not reconcile with theories such as Einstein's general theory of relativity, which is kind of on the macroscopic scale versus quantum gravity's on the microscopic scale. So we need a theory that unifies all of this physics into one big explanation for why our universe works the way it does. And the best theory for this right now is string theory. It doesn't solve everything, but we can't find anything better than string theory that can even better reconcile quantum gravity and Einstein's theory of general relativity. Okay, and so right now string theory is kind of unifying the 4 forces observed in nature, or the gravitational force, the electromagnetic force, the strong nuclear force, and the weak nuclear force. And if you don't know, the strong nuclear force is basically the force that binds together fundamental particles that form larger particles. So for example, it's what binds quarks to form protons. And then the weak nuclear force is the interaction between subatomic particles that essentially like gives rise to radioactive decay. So it's the force that's responsible for the decaying of unstable particles. All right, so now we can talk about the cool stuff. Okay, I told you what brings up these dimensions, what string theory is. Let's talk exactly about what these other 6 weird, wacky dimensions, you know, besides our 3 spatial dimensions and the dimension of time, what do they do? And they do cool things. So first of all, these dimensions are super small and they're curled up. And now you're probably like, what? Because I really just hyped up all of these six dimensions. I told you they were so cool, and now I'm just going to tell you that they're tiny? They're so small? Well, they kind of have to be. And the reason is, if these dimensions were like, you know, dimensions where we could coexist, or really, really large dimensions, we would be dead. And because I am right here talking to you through your cell phone or through your MacBook or however you're listening to this podcast, you already know we're not dead. So when two protons collide at high speeds, they create a primordial, or as I explained in an earlier episode, they create basically a really tiny black hole that exists for a tiny amount of time. And I mean like a fraction of a second or so. And then this primordial black hole disappears. Now, if these dimensions were larger, in this black hole, a bubble of interdimensional space would be open. And in this interdimensional space, because this space encompasses more dimensions than just those in our brain, the laws of physics would be different. Because obviously the particles, the forces, the fields that we know of, they don't exist in these other dimensions, as I stated earlier. So because this black hole that's opened up has access to more than just the dimensions in our universe, the laws of physics would be totally different, okay? And then if this interdimensional space is large enough, so if this bubble that's been opened because of this black hole is large enough, we would be toast. Gravity is able to go through the brain and exist in these other dimensions. And because of that, there would be so much gravity in the interdimensional space that it would be able to interact with our world. So it's kind of like as if aliens came to our world. They would wreak havoc. Well, in this scenario, gravity from the interdimensional space would wreak havoc on our world, and then we would be zapped out of existence as the physics of our universe would change because of the interactions between our brain and the interdimensional space. Now, in physics, this bubble, this like weird zapping us out of existence interdimensional space black hole bubble is called the cosmic death bubble, okay? And that's such a cool sci-fi name. So if these six extra dimensions were large enough for this cosmic death bubble to form, this process of us being zapped out of freaking existence from our own universe would have already happened so many times because cosmic rays are already bashing each other into each other with enough energy to start this process. And because this cosmic death bubble has not zapped us out of existence, we know, okay, these other six dimensions clearly cannot be large enough for us to kind of coexist in them. So they have to be really, really, really small. Now, something else about these tiny dimensions is like, yeah, they're small, and the way they're configured is known as a Calabi-Yau manifold. And these are basically possible configurations of these six tiny curled up dimensions. And there's a fucking lot of possible manifolds that these dimensions could take. There's over 10 to the power of 200,000 ways that these six dimensions could be configured. So isn't that kind of cool? It's like a puzzle. We don't even know how these six other dimensions are configured. We just know they exist and that they're really tiny. Okay, so that was the size. Now let's talk about what they do. Because I think in essence and in my opinion, that's probably the coolest part. Like, yeah, we have six other dimensions, but it doesn't really matter that they exist if they don't add anything cool to, you know, our knowledge or anything cool to our universe. Well, let me tell you right now, they do add many, many cool things, okay? So I'm gonna go through and tell you what each dimension adds to our universe. And it's super cool. So first, let's start with the fifth dimension, right? Because we're going to start from five because we already have three spatial dimensions and we have the fourth dimension of time. So let's start from the fifth dimension. The fifth dimension, in this one, we can see one world that is slightly different from our own. So it's like taking our own world and changing a few things. But we can only see one world that is different. Not many, just one. Okay, moving on to the sixth dimension. So if we go to the sixth dimension, it's like the fifth dimension, but now we can see many worlds different from ours that came from the same initial condition. So all of these worlds that we could see like many, many combinations of different events and, you know, the way that certain things would have played out. But they all were, you know, they were all given rise to from the Big Bang or from the same initial condition as our current universe. Okay. And in theory, with this fifth and sixth dimension, we would be able to go back in time or to different futures. And that should make sense that we can go to different futures, for example, because we are able to see all these worlds that have had different combinations of events occurring. One event that's slightly different could lead rise to a totally different future event. And then, you know, things would just keep changing and changing, and we would be able to access all these different futures. Now, with the seventh dimension, what we're going to see is that we can see different worlds that start with different initial conditions. So with the sixth dimension, you could see many different worlds, but they all had to come from the Big Bang. In the seventh dimension, we get rid of that restriction. You can see all these different worlds, and they can start with all these different initial conditions. So not even necessarily the Big Bang. And that is something that's really cool. Now you have an infinite possibility of what could be occurring in each world, because even the initial condition could be different. So the eighth dimension is essentially the seventh dimension, but now we can see how all these different worlds continue branching out infinitely, or as time approaches infinity, as all of these different actions are occurring and changing the course of the universe. So the way I think of this is like a family tree, okay? The eighth dimension is like a family tree. If you've ever seen a family tree and you see how the family keeps branching out and out and out as, you know, people have more kids and they marry different people and stuff like that. All the different things that could be occurring in these different worlds and all these worlds and the possibilities in them, they keep branching out and branching out and branching out as different events are occurring and giving rise to even more different events. And, you know, you have different initial conditions. So really, it's just like, it's kind of mind-boggling exactly how many different ways all of these different worlds can be playing out. And it only gets more mind-boggling from here, okay? In the ninth dimension, we are able to compare all the possible histories of our universe, including all the different and all the same initial conditions. And with that, because they could have different initial conditions, you could also have different laws of physics. So in these possible universe histories, we could also compare all the different and all the same laws of physics. It's just kind of like, what? Like, whoa, like, you can compare every possible universe history you can think of. Anything your mind can imagine, it's probably occurring in one of the universes in the ninth dimension. And the last one, the 10th dimension, the most mind-fucking-boggling thing ever, this dimension covers everything that we as humans have ever conceived or ever thought of, okay? And this dimension is physically our limitation because we cannot envision more. At this point, our mind is basically broken. We cannot envision more than the 10th dimension. And, you know, this kind of reminds me of, like, if you've heard of those heavy drugs like LSD and acid, once you've done stuff like that, it's like it breaks your mind. It's the same thing with the 10th dimension. This is everything we've ever conceived. You cannot think of anything. We physically cannot think of anything beyond the 10th dimension. All right. So before I end this episode, that was like a lot about string theory, about what the different dimensions do, why we have string theory, blah, blah, blah. I wanted to give you a few more theories that are related to the idea of having more than just four dimensions, because we actually have quite a few. So the first one I wanted to talk about is M theory. And M theory is pretty similar to string theory in the fact that, so you'll remember I said there are five different types of string theory, right? There's type 1, type 2A, type 2B, blah, 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 blah. M theory essentially unifies all five different versions of string theory plus a theory known as supergravity. And supergravity is it's a different theory stating that elementary particles are not necessarily made up of tiny strings, but rather tiny threads of energy. And so M theory takes string theory, all five versions, and unifies it with supergravity. And it takes shape of each of these theories in a different setting. So I think of it like a shapeshifter, okay? In one setting, for example, if you're in a forest, you might take the shape of some sort of monkey. When you're in the ocean, you're going to take the shape of a whale. So M theory takes the shape of each of these six different theories in different settings. And it kind of came from the idea that, you know, for example, a strong version of a type 1 string theory could just be a weaker version of an SO32 heterodic string theory. And that is to say that all of the string theories are very similar and intertwined. And that's kind of what M theory is doing, right? It's intertwining all of these different theories. Now, the big difference, well, there's two actually. So the first big difference that M theory gives us from string theory is that instead of 10 dimensions, we would have 11. But the 11th dimension would not play a large role. So it's not too different, because if the 11th dimension isn't playing a large role, it's essentially like we can kind of boil it back down to having 10 dimensions and just having like a slightly negligible 11th dimension. And the other big difference that M theory gives us from string theory is that, well, in string theory, as said in the name, the fundamental object that is giving rise to all of these elementary particles is a string. Whereas in M theory, it's not a string, it's different numerical brains. And that's kind of like mind-fucking, like, what does that mean? Well, the idea here is that in M theory, instead of different strings vibrating, we have different numerical brains. So you're going to have the 1 brain, the 2 brain, the 3 brain, and the one brain is essentially a string, right? It's one-dimensional. The two brain is like a sheet. It's two-dimensional. The three brain is a three-dimensional shape, etc. And all of these different numerical dimensional brains are what give rise to elementary particles. And these different numerical brains, like, those are what give rise and what are the fundamental objects of our universe. The other theory, so I'm going to give you three. The second theory that we have, this posits that instead of three spatial dimensions and one time dimension, our universe has four spatial dimensions and one time dimension, except one of these spatial dimensions contracted over time until it was so tiny that the other three dimensions in our universe appeared homogeneous and isotropic. And what that means is, like, if you take any blob from our universe, it'll have the same material, about the same number of black holes, about the same number of galaxies as another large blob of our universe. So on the macroscopic scale, though, the universe is homogeneous. But that is only on the microscopic scale, because obviously on the microscopic scale, if you take a blob of our universe, you know, it could have one galaxy and a star, whereas another blob of our universe could just have a black hole. So something like that. On the macroscopic scale, it's also isotropic, meaning that in every direction that you look, you're going to see the same thing. And again, on the microscopic scale, that's not true. If you look in one direction, you could see a star. If you look in another direction, you could see a distant nebula. But on the large scale, you're going to be seeing the same thing. And so the idea of having four spatial dimensions and one time dimension, it's able to give rise to the fact that, yeah, our universe appears homogeneous and isotropic, because one of these spatial dimensions contracting over time leads the other three dimensions that are spatial to appear homogeneous and isotropic. Now, the other thing is that with this fifth dimension, we cannot see it, right? Because it contracted over time until it was tiny. So because we can't see it, it's very hard to study. And therefore, it is very hard to prove or disprove or, you know, do too much with this theory. But the reason we've kept it around and the reason it's so good is because this fifth dimension could explain why gravity is so weak. Now, as we know, the fundamental particle composing gravity is known as the graviton, okay? And this particle could be leaving our brain, or the fourth dimension, and quote-unquote leaking into this fifth spatial dimension. And because these particles that are massless and chargeless and traveling at the speed of light, they're leaking into the fifth dimension, this is like an explanation for why gravity could be the weakest force, because we have gravitons leaking into the other dimension. The other thing that this theory does for us is it connects gravity and electromagnetism. And these two topics seem unrelated and disconnected in our current four-dimensional space-time, but if we have this fifth dimension, we are able to connect these two topics. So again, that provides unity in physics and kind of helps unify all these different topics that currently don't really have much to do with each other. The last theory we have is known as the holographic universe theory. And this one is like straight out of sci-fi. So this is basically saying that what we see as our three-dimensional spatial universe, right? We have up, down, north, south, east, west. These dimensions are actually just two dimensions, two spatial dimensions projected to appear as three. And that doesn't really make sense, right? Like, how can you take two dimensions and kind of blow them up to three? Well, I'll give you an analogy, and I think of this as like a TV show, right? When you watch any sort of TV, so if you're watching Friends, How I Met Your Mother, Crash Landing on You, you know, whatever you're watching, these 2D characters on the TV are appearing to live in a 3D world, right? You're watching a 2D screen, but the world that they're living in, and, you know, when Ross and Rachel, they're walking across the screen, stuff like that, it appears 3D. That's kind of the same as the holographic universe, except in this case, we would be the characters in the TV show, and we would be in a 2D world, but to us, it's appearing 3D. And now the question is, like, why would we want this theory? What does the holographic universe, besides, you know, seeming really cool, what does that do for us? Well, in this theory, simplifying our three-dimensional world to two dimensions, it makes big physics problems and the types of problems that have been confounding scientists for centuries, it makes them so much easier to solve, and it really simplifies the laws of physics. So that's kind of why we like this theory, because it makes things a lot easier for us, and it does work with a lot of the ideas that are already verified in our universe. All right, that was a lot of info. Let's conclude this episode. So today, I hope we really blew everyone's mind, because I love all the ideas in this episode. Because did you really think that there were just four dimensions? Just three spatial dimensions and one dimension of time? Hell no, bro, okay? There's 10, maybe even 11 if we go with M-theory. And all of this is because we envision our four-dimensional universe as a brain in a larger bulk, or as being involved with even more dimensions. And what gives rise to this idea of having six or seven extra dimensions is string theory. And this is the idea that all elementary particles are descending from tiny, small, vibrating strings. And the way that the string vibrates corresponds with the particle that is produced. So we have string theory to unify and kind of reconcile general relativity with quantum gravity. And right now, as I said earlier, string theory is the best bet for the theory of everything. So then, obviously, a cool factor of string theory is that with this idea of vibrating strings, for the strings to be able to produce all the particles that we see, we're going to need extra dimensions. What about these 6 or 7 extra dimensions? Well, they're super duper tiny, okay? And as I said, if they weren't tiny, we would have died from particle collisions because those particle collisions would have produced a bubble of interdimensional space. The gravity from this interdimensional space would interact with our own universe, and that would obliterate our own existence. And so what makes these extra dimensions so interesting is that they provide us with a window to a multiverse where every dimension adds on, and by the 10th dimension, we can see all universes with varying initial conditions and possible histories. Isn't that just like, mind-blowing? We can basically see every possible universe ever through the use of these 10 dimensions. Now, as I just said, the other theories related to having more than 4 dimensions. One is M-theory, which combines the 5 different versions of string theory plus the theory of supergravity. And here, in M-theory, the fundamental object of reality that's manifesting into different elementary particles, it's not strings, it's brains of varying numerical dimensions, okay? Now, another theory, some physicists supported normaling 5 dimensions rather than 4 and saying that the 5th dimension has contracted over time, and that could explain why gravity is so weak since it's quote-unquote leaking into the 5th dimension. This theory would also connect gravity and electromagnetism, which we currently cannot connect in our 4-dimensional universe. Now the last weird theory we have for our universe having more than 4 dimensions is known as the holographic universe. And instead of adding more dimensions like string theory and M theory have, this one takes away dimensions. It says instead of having 3 spatial dimensions, we actually have 2 spatial dimensions. And these 2 spatial dimensions have been stretched out into 3. And, you know, this theory basically makes everything easier to solve because you're really simplifying everything down from 3 to 2 dimensions. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. Please don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and tune in for the next episodes as they come along because it's going to be a good time. Get pumped. We're talking about cool physics. There's nothing you should be more excited for, okay? Okay, bye.